And casting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney, you're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. I'm John Montgomery. This week, our focus is going to be on Shake 4.0, and more specifically, the Shake 4.0 SDK. Why are we doing this? Well, coming up next week in Sydney, there's going to be a Shake SDK seminar from October 26th through the 28th. You can find out more information about it on the FX Guide site, where we've got some links to the Apple registration page and such. Mike's going to be talking with Dion Scopatulo. Dion's the Senior Product Marketing Manager for Apple Shake and Motion products. And Dion's going to let us know, what is an SDK? I mean, why is it good for users? What's different about writing a plugin versus doing macros for Shake? And maybe give us a little insight into how Shake 4.0 is being received by users and artists around the world. So without further delay, let's head on down to Sydney, where Mike Seymour is standing by. Mike?
Thanks for that, John. And thanks to you, Dion, for joining us from LA.
No, thanks for inviting me.
So I guess I'd just to start with on Shake 4, how has it gone, the new version?
Shake 4 has been great. I mean, it's really been widely well received from both just the existing customers and new customers who, you know, with the new features in Shake 4 have really come around to looking at it, even though it's a very different way of working than most other applications. They've come around and started looking at it and saying, it's really interesting. Just because of Shake 4, we put so much into it. There are a lot of features in there.
Yeah, I must say, the optical flow stuff, I was really pleased when I first saw that. That's a great addition.
Yeah, we invested a lot of R&D time in that. I mean, obviously, it takes a lot of R&D time to do it, but instead of going out and you know, licensing technology, we actually grew it here at home. And so it ends up that we're able to use it in a lot of different places rather than just one feature comes out of it. A whole bunch of features come out of it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were hoping that there'd be something in the 3D compositing environment, but I guess there'd been less attention on the optical flow stuff. Yet when everyone saw it, I think there was a kind of a universal, oh yeah, brilliant, glad that's there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that goes in are simple stuff that you just use all the time. So I think people do see a lot of big bang from it. But it is the second thing after people see the 3D node that they get to it and they're like, oh, retiming, resizing. And especially now, I think, when people are starting to mix or wanting to take kind of standard definition stuff to high definition stuff to film and mix it all together.
Also, one of the really significant things was how the various products work closely with each other, like Motion being able to obviously be cleverly brought in through QuickTime into Shake, and also Shake's relationship now to Final Cut, which I think is a huge plus.
Yeah, I mean, doing standalone applications is always good, but obviously no one works isolated like that, so you always need to integrate with other tools. Right, so, and you know, everything gets edited at some point, so integration with Final Cut was a natural, it takes a while till both apps are mature enough to have some kind of dialogue between the two, but we finally got that, and that's the first step, and that's great. And Motion and Shake are natural, too. One is very graphical and design-oriented, and one is very, you know, visual effects compositing, so they complement each other pretty well.
Any chance we'll see a Final Cut bundle with Shake in it?
It's always possible. I mean, we don't. You know, right now, they exist separately, and a lot of times people who are sitting behind them are separate. So that's why they're not tied together like that. Shake is also really dedicated to visual effects, whereas people doing Final Cut work tend to do multiple tasks at once, and that's not really a Shake tool. That's why Motion is in there more. It's more approachable for someone who casually goes in and out. Shake isn't necessarily approachable by someone who just uses it once a week or once a month.
Yeah, I think the idea of having separate apps and sometimes bundling them together for pricing reasons is good. So I guess, you know, that's worked really well with the current Final Cut bundle, and maybe a Motion Shake bundle is there somewhere. But one thing I wanted to ask you about was the Linux version. Can you talk to us about, because there's, you know, a lot of Shake users that are on OS X, of course, but they're also a good section of OS X users and Linux users in the same facilities, aren't there?
Yeah. Definitely, people are definitely cross-pollinating, if you want to call it that, you know, having both platforms in their facility. Linux and Mac got released at the same time for Shake 4 as it did in Shake 3.5. We always keep them in sync with each other. The Linux version runs on Red Hat 9, and it's, you know, it has pretty much all the features that the Mac version has. We keep them capable, we keep them the same level of functionality, except where obviously the Mac has some features that we just take advantage of on the platform. So we're able to do that. And so that's where the Mac difference comes up.
So I've got you on the line today to talk, you know, mainly, I guess, about the SDK stuff with Shake. And I wanted to get into that really at a simple level. So let's assume for a second I have no idea about the subtleties of what an SDK is. Can you walk us through, I guess, the basic difference between a macro, a plugin, what's the difference between something that I write and just take as part of the tree and save out for Shake? What's the difference between that and, say, a plugin I would buy from a Foundry or one of the plugin manufacturers like Sapphire, and something that I might develop using the SDK?
Sure. So macros really are simply new functions that act like other functions in the interface. It's created by the user stringing together a bunch of functions as building blocks. So you take the kind of atomic level nodes that exist in Shake and you string them all together, and you're able to make an entirely different function, like a glow or a dilated road function, out of a bunch of other existing nodes that are in Shake already. And so a company uses them to speed up or standardize, you know, common effects that are unique to the facility. So those are kind of macros. You build them yourself out of existing Shake nodes. SDK is short for Software Developer Kit, and it allows programmers to create custom effects that are pre-compiled. So they run more quickly and than typical macros would, and they're able to do more. They can access more of the Shake engine and not just what's exposed in the Shake user interface like macros are limited to. So that's kind of the basic difference. How an SDK developed function differs from, say, a plugin you might find from a third party, it really doesn't. The difference is that, you know, the SDK is open to everyone, so there is no real difference. You get the same SDK that a third-party developer would who are creating commercial plugins.
So we've got someone like Carl Sims or one of the, you know, like Dr. Bill at the Foundry, and they're developing something that is, a plugin. Effectively, you'd buy it and put it in Shake. There's really no reason other than the required IQ why anyone couldn't do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, we kind of all know this, right? Applications doing visual effects on the surface are very similar. They all have keyers, they all have trackers, they all have, you know, roto tools and paint tools and et cetera and all that stuff. So when it comes down to it, the real difference in the application is how open is it to the user to let them modify it. And that's really where Shake Strength comes in, because it's completely open. I mean, the SDK is free to any Shake user who wants to go in and tinker with it. It certainly helps if you have some programming experience. But at the same time, you know, there are macros for those who don't. And so no matter what level you are, Shake kind of is open to you. And so, that's the great thing about it that people really like.
So I go and buy my shrink-wrapped copy of Shake and put it on my G5. Do I get the SDK? Do I download it? And what does it actually involve?
You do have to ask for the SDK from Apple. You just write to, you know, Shake support or shake-sdk@apple.com, and you're able to get the SDK. So it's not, you don't have to pay for it or anything like that. It's free to any existing user. And then you get the software developer kit, can, you know, there's a bunch of, I'd say, tutorials or example projects to take you through something so you get the feeling of it, and then you start tinkering. The difficulty is that because it really goes down to the metal. You know, it is really down into the guts of Shake, so it exposes everything to you. So it can be kind of daunting if you're a novice programmer, but that's kind of the reason why we are doing these Shake SDK courses.
Well, I'm going to come back to that in 1 second. So just to be absolutely clear for those that haven't used it, of course, Shake is fully a scripting language. So the user interface, you know, you can literally copy and paste nodes from the tree into, say, an email and send it to somebody, because that's how Shake was written. The SDK is C++, right?
Yeah, exactly. So Shake projects, if you want to call them that, they're actually called Shake scripts, the projects are, because it's saved in a language that really it closely resembles C programming language, but they're scripts, they're just ASCII files. It makes them, you know, extremely flexible. You can just open up a script and easily modifying it, you know, without ever using the user interface, right? So you can open up the script and change, you know, where the file directory is going to come from instead of where you saved it from originally. So it's really easy to do things like that. Now the SDK is, yes, it's a bunch of programming files.
Okay, and so you mentioned just a moment ago the courses. There's one coming up in Sydney, and we're going to talk about that in a sec, but you've already done two of these SDK courses, correct?
We've done four.
So there was San Francisco, LA, and where have I missed?
London, and we did one in New Zealand.
Brilliant. And so tell us about how the response was to that. I mean,
It's been greatly received. You know, people from experienced programmers who have used it before to third-party commercial developers to just, Shake artists who are just sitting behind it using the nodes that exist there wanting to get a little experience from it. They've all been able to attend and really get into what Shake's all about once you get to that course. It's been really greatly received. And the great thing about it was that we were able to do it for free. You know, we utilized the Apple authorized training centers for the locations, and we were able to fly out the SDK developer from Shake team to go around to these places, so you get firsthand, you know, knowledge and training. And that's one of the benefits of just, you know, being Apple.
So is that Angus that ran all four of those courses, who's running the Sydney course?
Yeah, exactly. He's the main SDK developer, and he designed the course, and he wrote the curriculum, and he manages everyone who's using the SDK. So, yeah, it's a big task.
So going right to the core of it, and I think that's really beneficial, because if somebody's developing something, it's nothing like speaking, you know, directly to the people involved at almost the R&D level.
Right. No, exactly. You know, Angus is part of the R&D team, and he's sitting on there with all the other developers on Shake, and so you are getting first-hand knowledge.
So let's run through the course as it will be in Sydney in 2 weeks' time, and we're going to put information for that on the website. But, you know, can you just run through, it's like a three-day course, what is it that's been covered?
Yeah, so basically the three-day course, it covers everything from the beginning to the end. So it will actually start off with teaching people even about macros and things like that. But slowly it gets into every part of Shake, you know, the render engine, the file I/O part of it, just how to make a very simple filter effect, to how to tear apart a Shake script and be able to just do simple scripting on that, how to get into the new 3D multiplane node. So it really covers everything, and it takes you through, you know, Angus doing seminar stuff where you sit there and go over some stuff with him, to actually getting hands-on. Each attendee has a computer in front of them, and they're actually sitting there going through and actually writing code.
And so the course runs over 3 days. It's free. I guess the computers are all set up for this. If I'm doing it at home, though, I need to do I need to download a compiler, or is the compiler part of the download from Apple?
No, you do need Xcode on your macOS 10 workstation to do it. So that's the only, that is the part you do need a compiler if you're going to do it on Linux, or you need Xcode on the Mac to be able to actually create your SDK plugin.
And Angus's 3-day course, as you said, it has now covered a few places. For those people that that aren't in one of those places, are there going to be more courses after Sydney?
Angus is tired, so he's probably not going to fly for a while. What we are planning on doing, hopefully, is to create a DVD that will cover the major portions of the session. So people who weren't able to attend will be able to purchase the DVD and get the majority of the information.
So we're happy to help with that and provide information if people want to know when that DVD is going to be available. But I guess the aim would be to get it out by kind of Christmas, put it in your Christmas stocking.
Yeah, we certainly hope to get it out before Christmas, and I think it would be a great gift for most people.
So the course in Sydney, as I say, 3 days, and it's coming up in about a fortnight's time. If people are interested in just looking at stuff about the SDK, there's also, of course, a lot of stuff on the Apple website. In fact, the Pro Tools section of the Apple site is actually quite large now, isn't it?
Yeah, it actually is, because it covers a bunch of applications now. It not only covers Shake, but it covers Motion's real-time GPU-based effects plug and Final Cut's XML documentation as well.
So really, I mean, from your point of view, obviously the large facilities are using Shake. They're doing the SDK stuff. Are you? I guess I'm trying to feel out whether you think this is something that'd be appropriate for mid-level facilities. How big a Shake user do you have to be, do you think, before the SDK stuff becomes a real option for pipeline work? And my second question is how stable is that?
Yeah. So of course, larger facilities have been using the SDK since Shake began, right? I mean, they were able, that's how first Shake started, with no user interface. People could write their own stuff and use the engine. Large facilities have always been using it. But recently, I think this is just also more and more facilities or boutiques are sprouting up from splintering off from larger facilities. So there's a lot more education out there about how Shake works and what you can do with it. And so we've actually seen a lot of smaller boutiques of, three or four people in the whole facility. That's the whole company of three and four, and they're starting to use Shake SDK as well, because that's how you can differentiate yourself in a way. I mean, like I was saying before, every application can key and track, and it comes down to how do you differentiate your company between that and just the standard run of the mill stuff. So the SDK is the way to do it, and I think it's not unusual for people to have some experience with programming these days, whereas 5-10 years ago there were a lot fewer. Now it's not that unusual, and you do see a lot more boutiques having maybe one person on staff, the person in the basement who doesn't date that much writing Mel scripts and writing Shake plugins. That's not unusual to have these days.
Certainly, I think that the whole pipeline thing is such an issue now that people have started doing stuff with macros, seen how far they can get with that, wanted to integrate and be efficient, because let's face it, budgets are tight. There's quite a lot of work out there, but you have to really be careful with it. And it's after doing some of that macro work that they get a taste for it, that they hit the SDK and really open up their business.
Yeah, exactly. That's becoming more and more popular, and I think more and more popular with smaller facilities.
Well, thank you very much for taking time to talk to us today.
Yeah.
And
thank you, Mike. It's my pleasure.
We'll put all the information to do with both the Sydney course coming up in the SDK and the DVDs when they're available and details of that on the website. And we'll also put some links over to the Apple site so that you've got direct links into where the SDK stuff is, because there is a lot of stuff on the apple.com site. Thanks a lot, Dion.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2005 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide LLC.